The encephalopathy biomarker, a crucial indicator in psychiatric diagnosis and treatment. Dr. Ronald Swatsina, director and chief scientist of the Houston Neuroscience Brain Center, inspired our clinician detective series. In his Association for Applied Psychophysiology and Biofeedback, APB, distinguished scientist address, he reminded his audience that the DSM-5 requires that general medical conditions be systematically ruled out before assigning a psychiatric diagnosis to ensure diagnostic validity and appropriate treatment planning. He argued that in abrupt onset and refractory cases, EEG biomarkers should challenge neurofeedback providers and their medical colleagues to become detectives to identify its causes. This collaborative approach allows each professional to contribute to assessment while staying in their lane. Encephalopathy, EEG, is characterized by generalized slowing of cortical electrical activity on electroencephalography, EEG. This global slowing reflects a systemic disturbance in cortico-subcortical integration, with a synchronization between the cerebral cortex and deeper subcortical structures, particularly the thalamus, is disrupted. Such disruption is typically the result of metabolic imbalances, such as hepatic or renal dysfunction, toxic exposure, e.g., medications, heavy metals, or hypoxic conditions, oxygen deprivation, which impair neuronal metabolism and ion channel functioning across broad neural networks rather than causing isolated focal lesions, Swatsina et al., 2014. From a neurophysiological perspective, this manifests as a loss of alpha frequency, 8 to 12 Hz, thalamocortical resonance, which is a normal marker of resting wakefulness. Instead, there is a dominance of lower frequency rhythms, namely delta, 0.5 to 4 Hz, and theta, 4 to 7 Hz, which indicate impaired cortical arousal and reduced neuronal synchrony. This slowing is especially apparent when examining the posterior dominant rhythm, PDR, in occipital leads, which, under normal circumstances, displays reactive alpha activity during eye closure. In encephalopathy, this rhythm often drops below 8 Hz and loses reactivity to external stimuli, e.g., eye opening, photic stimulation, or cognitive tasks, serving as a key diagnostic sign, Brenner, 2021. For neurofeedback clinicians and functional physicians, this slowing should prompt immediate consideration of systemic contributors. For example, elevated systemic ammonia, uremia, or undiagnosed hypothyroidism can alter brain metabolism and cause these diffuse patterns. These findings should redirect assessment toward laboratory evaluation of hepatic, renal, and endocrine panels before any neurostimulatory protocols are initiated. Morphological presentation and clinical misinterpretation. Encephalopathy presents with polymorphic delta activity delta waves that vary in shape and amplitude over cortical areas, often replacing the normal alpha rhythm. However, the variability in its morphology makes interpretation prone to error, especially by those not trained in clinical neurophysiology. For instance, in hepatic encephalopathy, practitioners often observe frontal intermittent rhythmic delta activity, FIRDA, which presents as waxing and waning delta waves over the frontal regions. This pattern may appear deceptively similar to that seen in certain mood disorders or post-concussive states. In diffuse axonal injury commonly due to traumatic brain injury, theta, delta fusion is noted, wherein mixed slow frequencies dominate, often with poor phase synchrony. This can be misattributed to drowsiness or medication effects unless contextualized with history and appropriate filter settings. A common error in EEG acquisition arises from inappropriate high-pass filtering, which can attenuate slow-wave activity and mask encephalopathic signatures. The International League Against Epilepsy, ILA, recommends using a low-frequency filter setting of 0.1 Hz and employing bipolar and Laplacian montages. Bipolar montages assess differential voltage between adjacent leads, helping localize rhythms. Laplacian montages, by contrast, subtract the average of surrounding electrodes from a central electrode to highlight local cortical activity, improving spatial resolution of slow-wave abnormalities. For neurofeedback clinicians employing QEG-based protocols, it is critical to ensure the pre-processing pipeline honors these standards. Artifact rejection, impedance normalization, and filter integrity are essential in preventing misclassification of pathological slowing as a training targets. Improperly interpreted slow wave enhancement protocols risk reinforcing pathological theta or delta rhythms, particularly if training is implemented based solely on regional power metrics without cross-referencing clinical history or metabolic status. Clinical implications and diagnostic accuracy. Misclassification of encephalopathy in psychiatric settings frequently results in mistreatment, especially when diffuse slowing is dismissed as nonspecific or attributed to primary psychiatric etiology. The administration of dopamine-blocking agents such as antipsychotics in patients with metabolic encephalopathy can precipitate catatonic states, extrapyramidal symptoms, or neuroleptic malignant syndrome conditions associated with significant morbidity. Conversely, incidental findings of age-related alpha slowing in geriatric populations, especially those over 70, can be wrongly attributed to pathology. In these instances, reliance on absolute frequency bands without adjusting for normative age values leads to unnecessary investigations or cognitive decline labeling. This misinterpretation can propagate polypharmacy, especially involving psychostimulants, cholinesterase inhibitors, or mood stabilizers, which in turn increases the risk of adverse drug interactions. For functional medicine practitioners and neurotherapists, narrative EEG reporting where physiological findings are contextualized within the clinical presentation is essential. Instead of isolated spectral metrics, e.g., elevated theta in FZ, findings should be correlated with cognition, alertness, and systemic status. Advanced software platforms allow integration of clinical notes into EEG reports, improving communication between EEG technologists, physicians, and neurofeedback providers. Behavioral correlates and localization of dysfunction. While encephalopathy is a diffuse condition, regional amplitude gradients often correspond with specific neurobehavioral symptoms. Frontal predominant slowing may present with impaired initiation, executive dysfunction, and perseverative behavior suggesting dysfunction in the anterior cingulate cortex and dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. These findings are often mistaken for depressive or apathic presentations, but should instead raise concern for metabolic or vascular compromise. Posterior slowing, particularly in the parieto-occipital regions, can manifest as impairments in visuospatial awareness and emotional self-processing. Symptoms such as alexithymia or hemispatial neglect may emerge, especially in right hemisphere dominant posterior slowing. In these cases, QEG findings typically show excessive theta/delta ratios in P3, P4, O1, or O2 electrodes. Esloretta, standardized low-resolution brain electromagnetic tomography, a technique that estimates intracerebral current source density, frequently shows hypofunction in the precuneus and midline thalamus core hubs of the default mode network, DMN. The DMN is involved in self-referential thinking, internal mentation, and autobiographical memory. Dysregulation of these areas, as seen in patients with encephalopathic slowing, often correlates with symptoms of ruminative depression, emotional blunting, and impaired self-awareness, Rios and Souza, 2020. Neurofeedback practitioners should consider these spatial signatures when designing protocols. For example, enhancing posterior alpha via PZ or PIAZ placement may restore DMN coherence in mild encephalopathic states, while suppressing excessive frontal delta may aid in re-establishing executive function. These interventions should always follow correction of underlying metabolic issues. State dependence and detection limitations. Encephalopathic slowing is state dependent, and its detectability can vary based on arousal level. Routine EEG, typically lasting 20 to 30 minutes, may fail to capture intermittent or mild encephalopathies, especially if the patient is alert and cooperative during testing. However, during sleep, hyperventilation, or post-sleep deprivation, the pathological slowing often becomes more evident. Extended EEG monitoring lasting several hours or overnight, ambulatory EEG or inpatient video EEG, is superior for capturing dynamic fluctuations. QEG further enhances sensitivity by comparing spectral power and connectivity metrics to age-matched normative databases. Z-score deviations in posterior dominant frequency or coherence abnormalities between frontal and posterior regions can provide a quantifiable measure of cortical dysregulation. For older adults, who naturally demonstrate a gradual slowing of alpha frequencies. QEG systems must employ age-adjusted Z-score correction to avoid false positives. Systems such as NeuroGuide and BrainDX offer age reference comparisons that help differentiate pathological from age-appropriate slowing. Illustrative case study. Patient history. A 70-year-old male with a history of chronic alcohol use and previously undiagnosed liver disease presented with a 3-month history of progressive cognitive decline, confusion, and memory impairment. Presenting symptoms. His family reported increasing episodes of disorientation, visual hallucinations, impaired attention, and marked forgetfulness, significantly affecting daily activities. Specific tests and findings. The initial EEG evaluation revealed generalized polymorphic delta slowing below 6 Hz with amplitudes of 70 to 105, which was unresponsive to cognitive tasks, consistent with toxic encephalopathy. Blood tests identified significantly elevated ammonia levels, suggesting hepatic encephalopathy due to impaired liver function. Treatment. Targeted metabolic treatment involved administration of lactulose to reduce ammonia absorption and rifaximin to decrease ammonia production by gut bacteria. Additionally, dietary protein intake was restricted to reduce further ammonia formation. Detailed EEG and metabolic changes. After 4 weeks of treatment, ammonia levels decreased significantly. Follow-up EEG showed normalization of the previously observed slow-wave abnormalities, with restoration of typical alpha frequencies at 9 to 11 Hz and amplitudes around 35, and improved reactivity to cognitive tasks. Symptom resolution. The patient exhibited marked cognitive and psychiatric improvement, with resolution of hallucinations, improved memory, and significantly enhanced orientation and daily functioning. Flowchart summary. When a patient presents with symptoms such as cognitive decline, confusion, and hallucinations, the initial step involves conducting a comprehensive patient history and clinical interview. Clinicians should pay particular attention to risk factors, including chronic alcohol use or evidence suggesting liver disease, as these might predispose the patient to conditions like hepatic encephalopathy. Following the initial clinical assessment, diagnostic testing should be conducted to clarify the underlying condition. An EEG should be performed to detect possible generalized slowing, characterized by delta waves, typically exhibiting frequencies below 6 Hz with amplitudes ranging from 70 to 100 microvolts. Concurrently, blood tests, particularly ammonia level assessments, should be obtained to confirm the presence of metabolic dysfunction indicative of hepatic encephalopathy. Once the EEG and laboratory findings confirm hepatic encephalopathy, targeted metabolic treatment must be initiated promptly. This typically includes the administration of lactulose to decrease ammonia absorption from the gut, rifaximin to reduce the growth of ammonia-producing gut bacteria, and dietary modifications involving protein restriction to further minimize ammonia production. Regular monitoring is crucial to assess the efficacy of the treatment. Follow-up EEGs should be scheduled every 2 to 4 weeks to monitor normalization of brain activity, ideally reflected by restored alpha wave frequencies between 9 and 11 Hz with amplitudes of approximately 30 microvolts. Repeat blood ammonia levels should also be monitored regularly to confirm the metabolic response to treatment. Continuous clinical evaluations must accompany EEG and metabolic monitoring. Clinicians should regularly assess the patient's cognitive functions, memory, presence of hallucinations, and overall orientation to ensure that symptoms are resolving. If significant improvement is observed, the established treatment regimen should be maintained, along with ongoing monitoring, to sustain therapeutic benefits. If the patient fails to show expected improvement, clinicians must reevaluate the diagnosis, verify treatment adherence, and explore alternative diagnoses and interventions. This structured yet fluid approach ensures accurate diagnosis, targeted interventions, and comprehensive patient recovery. Clinical lessons. Neurofeedback providers and functional physicians should glean several critical lessons from this vignette. Foremost is the necessity of incorporating thorough EEG assessments into clinical evaluations to accurately identify underlying cerebral dysfunctions, such as encephalopathy. Providers must remain vigilant in differentiating between EEG patterns associated with metabolic conditions, such as hepatic encephalopathy and other neurological or psychiatric disorders. This distinction is crucial, as misinterpretation can lead to inappropriate treatments and unnecessary complications. Additionally, practitioners should recognize the importance of targeted metabolic interventions, including medications such as lactulose and rifaximin, and dietary modifications in addressing specific metabolic imbalances like hyperammonemia. Regular follow-up through EEG monitoring, accompanied by careful clinical reassessment, is essential to ensure the effectiveness of treatment and resolution of symptoms. Ultimately, this case underscores the value of interdisciplinary collaboration, precise EEG analysis, and tailored metabolic therapies in achieving optimal patient outcomes. Conclusion: the identification of encephalopathy on EEG is a pivotal component in the differential diagnosis of neuropsychiatric symptoms. For neurofeedback practitioners and functional medicine physicians, recognizing the electrophysiological signature of encephalopathy, especially in the form of global slowing with impaired reactivity, is essential for guiding appropriate metabolic investigations and avoiding iatrogenic harm through misdirected therapy. Advanced tools such as Esloretta, quantitative EEG, and narrative EEG reporting not only enhance diagnostic precision, but also enable more targeted, physiology-driven interventions. Encephalopathy is not simply a diagnosis of exclusion. It is a biomarker of global brain dysfunction that, when correctly interpreted, opens the door to reversible and often life-saving treatments. Key takeaways: 1. Encephalopathy reflects widespread brain dysfunction often misinterpreted without quantitative EEG. 2. Structured narrative EEG reports linking morphology to clinical symptoms enhance diagnostic accuracy. 3. The prevalence of EEG-detected encephalopathy is significantly higher in psychiatric populations than controls. 4. Correct diagnosis prevents inappropriate medication use and guides effective treatment of underlying conditions. 5. EEG biomarkers like encephalopathy are critical in moving toward precision medicine in psychiatry.